You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the Sheffa Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, as we find ourselves almost deeply into the story of Bamidbar, into the book of Bamidbar, the stories of the journeys and the stories of the ups and the downs and the building and the taking apart and the writing and the erasing that the Jewish people go through. So we find ourselves in this up and down, ruts of a show of running and returning perspective. The Jewish people are wandering. The Jewish people have their own temptations. The Jewish people find themselves desiring something which they know not what yet. They're still in between the escape from Mitzrayim prior to the arrival in Eretz Yisrael. And there's a deep sense of scatteredness. There's a deep sense of Eilu Ma'aseh B'nai Yisrael. These are the journeys of B'nai Yisrael. As Rabbi Nachman tells us, the journeys, the need for a person to get up and to go and to come and to return and to wander, all of these are elements of what Rabbi Nachman identifies as a chisaron in emunah, a certain deficiency in faith. Because in this particular teaching, Rabbi Nachman says, if a person was able to draw down faith to the farthest degree possible, so they would know that they don't need to go anywhere in order to change their circumstances. But elsewhere, we find the second way of looking at this traveling. Traveling is not simply seen as something negative, a symptom of an exilic wandering without place. But rather, we find Rabbi Nachman himself utilizes the same language, that Eilu Ma'aseh B'nai Yisrael, that these are the travels of the Jewish people, is mechaper on Eila Elikech Yisrael. It refines, it takes care of that issue of Avodah Zarah. It's a tikkun, it's a rectification. So on the one hand, we find that the wandering to and fro and this placelessness of arrival and departure and arrival and departure is a symptom of an exilic reality. Yet on the other hand, we find that there's a semblance of calmness to be found in that wandering, in that walking. On the one hand, you can find the exilic wandering where I don't have a place where I can properly rest my head and call my own, and therefore I have to go between A and B and B and A and A to C, et cetera, et cetera. And in that space, the wandering is symptomatic of a placelessness. But we also find in the Halakha Zohar HaKadosh, and we find in the Mekubalim that followed the Zohar HaKadosh, a certain sense of the sanctification of wandering. Where wandering in the darkness of night, in the mountain air of Eretz Yisrael, there was a certain element of an awakening of secrets. And the Ramchal brings down that it's specifically upon the roads, upon the drachim, that we were capable of drawing down the deepest insight into our minds. And so on the one hand, we see this wandering from place to place as being symptomatic of a placelessness, very similar to Kayin's Klala, the punishment of Kayin, of Nov and Nad Yiyabaretz, you're going to wander in this land, which the Kushnitzer Maggid tells us is the birthplace of anxiety, and never being okay wherever I am at, and always demanding that I be elsewhere in order to find this mythological space of okayness, ever burdened with the task of running and returning because I'm unwilling to accept the fact that there is no place of okayness. And in that sense, the wandering is symptomatic of being kicked out of Gan Eden. But on the other hand, we find the wandering, a wandering to Kedusha, willingness, as Rabbi Nachman describes, of no venad besoch beso, that a person can move to and fro like the tzaddikim do within their homes, within their minds, within their rooms. And as all of us find ourselves wandering in the guise of Lech Lecha, of that placeless journey of faith, and we find that the wandering itself is going to be rectification. So again, we come face to face with a paradox of terms in terms of what exactly is the nature of this wandering, is the need to move from place to place. And again, we're speaking emotionally, psychologically, physically, all of these different transitions in my life. Is that seen as a punishment of sort, a symptom of the all too human condition that keeps me away from my mindful place of serenity? Or is it seen as the very functional spot wherein the human being is able to express themselves fully? And like most things in our tradition, we're going to find that it's both and at the same time. The Ramchal describes in Adir Bamarom the process of wandering. What did it mean to wander? What did it mean to wander around the house? and to move from the house towards the outside of the world. Generally speaking, a bias is referred to as a place of calmness. A bias is Tiferes Adam Leshev Babayis. A person feels most at home when they're sitting at home, when they're calm, when the doors are locked, when the windows are shut, and there's a certain sense of security, imagined security at least. And then there's the outside, which is a harrowing space associated with darkness and nighttime and the nocturnal non-control of all things. And it's very natural for a person to want to stay in the bias, to stay within that inner space of comfort that is defined and well understood and certain, and to refrain from entering into the wilderness and the wanderings of the outside, where I'm forced to wander beyond my intellect and I'm forced to embrace the unknowns of things. It's more than natural to experience first and foremost a fear, a concern, an anxiety at the heart of all things, at the heart of darkness. We know this Heilige Maisa from the grandson of the Beis Yaakov of Radzin, that he writes in his introduction to Dor Yesharim. He says that, you know, my Zaydi, the Beis Yaakov, would stay up all night learning in his cheder, and I, who was a little bit insomniac, I was not able to sleep. I would wander around the house making creaks on the floorboards. And when I was very overwhelmed, says the grandson of the Beis Yaakov, and I couldn't sleep, I would knock on my Zaydi's door, and my Zaydi would stand up from his desk, and he would put on his coat and take his walking stick, open the front door, and point into the darkness, teaching me how a Yid should never be afraid of anything in the world. And so the confrontation with the departure from the home into the outside of things, that forcedness to wander without place, that forced surrender and acceptance over the fact that I'm without a place. Kinei makom iti, the only place is the placelessness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That encounter with the darkness of the night is naturally going to elicit concerns. And in that place of the elicitation of concerns, where I feel that wandering in this world is something that takes me away from comfort, is something that doesn't allow me to be okay, and I place the blame of all of my dysfunction or all of my struggle on this place or the other place, always assuming I could arrive someplace else to finally satisfy the desires that I need. So that type of wandering that tells me that the outside is afraid and I have to wander because I'm a symptom of being a human being, that's going to be a wandering that is rooted in a loss of faith. It's going to be a wandering that is difficult, and it's going to be a placelessness that is identified with exile, not only on a national level, but on an individual level. But then there's another confrontation with wandering, and this is what the Ramchal describes Rabbi Shimon and his chevra, and we saw the Ramak and his chevra, and the Ari and his chevra, and the Heilige Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and the Gro, and the Rashash, and all of the chevraya kaddish of all of the tzaddikim, that they took upon themselves a willingness to wander. They took upon themselves a willingness to not find a sturdy place in this world, because they relinquished the desire for control and they attached themselves to the only place of actual control, which is the relinquishment of control by giving it over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by drawing down the Oiris Makifim of Emunah, by breathing deep the air of Gan Eden. These tzaddikim were able to transform their very wandering into a site of redemption. Meaning every step that a person walks, it's not simply a process towards a destination, and until I get to that destination, every step is in vain. But rather, through the lens of Emunah, the wandering that is very often necessary in reality as the birthright of Klal Yisrael, and as the experience, as the post-traumatic traumas and the histories of self that we experience, that wandering is very often going to be a necessity. And what we've had to learn and what we have to continue to learn is how to draw the breath of Gan Eden into the wandering, how to reveal that each and every step along the way is in and of itself the destination, that the halicha, the wandering, the no venad yeh ba'aretz, that movement from place to place and that fluidity that allows me to function in various circumstances with the same degree of equanimity, not connected or built in or enslaved to any particular set of circumstances in order to be happy, but rather fluid with the fluidity of equanimity and the serenity that allows me to be okay wherever what, the secret of acceptance, the secret of wandering, because each spot that I wander is exactly where I need to be. It's what the Ramchal describes as the specific meditation, the specific contemplation or mindset of when I walk outside in the polluted air of this world that pollutes my mind with anxiety, with a sense of self, self-aggrandizement, and all of the different things, kinatai ven kavod, that take a person out of this world. There's another way to be taken out of this world, and that's by drawing down the breath of Gan Eden, by taking a deep breath and realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are columns of air, there are pockets of air, that if I breathe properly, if I have the proper intention, if I think about your name and enough, if I think about you enough, if I come to realize that everything in this world is simply an expression of the infinite and paradoxical, impossible power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinitude being revealed at every level. At that moment, when I come to a place of Einon Milvado, where I come to a place of Avir Kadmon, where I realize the whole world is but a column of air, I could breathe deeply, I could breathe deep the air of Gan Eden and be Mamshech the Avir de Gan Eden through the nostrils into the self. I can smell it. I can choose to smell a good world. I can choose to breathe a breath of calmness, to access arichas af, to move a little bit more slowly and not to wander as if I'm running towards a destination late for a very important date, never giving rest to my eyes or rest to my shoulders, but rather to wander, but to stroll, to be metayel b'gan Eden. The tachlis of l'asad lavu is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be metayel with the neshamas of the tzaddikim, meaning he's going to be metayel and stroll with each and every neshama because amech kulam tzaddikim. And that strollingness is without destination. It's a wandering to and fro, but it's a wandering that draws down a comfort, an inner comfort, as Rabbi Nachman described, kol makom shani holech, ani holech rak l'Eretz Yisrael. That everywhere that I'm walking only towards Eretz Yisrael, meaning wherever I go, there's always a tachlis within the process itself. And when a person transforms that wandering, that placelessness, then they come to discover the secret of hine makom iti, there's a place with you always. And makom ha'aron eina min amida, and there's no place that is devoid of the capacity of transforming it into the aron kodesh of the kodesh hakadoshim of mibein shnei hakruvim, which is Rosh Tevas Moshe. Through the das of Moshe, through the opening up, the thickness of this world and breaking it open with the air of Gan Eden, through breath, through mindfulness, through the belief that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present right here, right now, as much as he was prior to the creation, so is he right now in the midst and the thickness and the distortion of existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the very same, and our job here is to draw down that breath and to have arichas af and to be able to walk along the path without destination, because the only destination is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The only destination is the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Even when a person comes to Yerushalayim, it's Lashana Haba Yerushalayim, because it's Ela Eretz Asher Arecha, because the destination is always perpetually unfolding in front of a person's eyes, because what I thought I arrived at yesterday is going to be revealed to simply be part of a deeper journey even further. And that's the lot of a person. Rokaha Aretz Alamayim. A Jew has to come to the understanding that I may wander, and I will wander. Even in redemption, I'm going to wander, because there's infinite gradations, because the only holiness that is absolutely removed from our holiness is the holiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kedushasi l'malam mikdushaseichem, which means that tzadikim ein lahem menucha loy ba'olam hazeh v'loy ba'olam haba, because they're going to be yelech mechayel el chayel. It doesn't mean that there's a need for refining something that is imperfect, but perfection will continue to become more and more perfect to the point that the previous moment's perfection and arrival is going to be revealed to be destitute in relationship to that which a person can be masig in the next moment. So when we can uncover the secret of walking, when we can uncover the secret of the need to stroll, of the need to sometimes be without destination, to realize that in that moment, hine makom iti, hamakom minachem esnam, there's an awe of the makom, as Rabbi Nachman says, that somebody who has the heart of a Jew or a Jewish heart, there is no distinction between space, because wherever I am, there I am, and I am the makom ha'olam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the makom ha'shel olam. Im ani kan hakol kan, as Hillel HaZaken said, the identification of the self with the bittul that exists as its source is the uncovering of the fact that zman and makom, as we understand them, are but expressions of something that has already folded out of itself. But when we can elevate time and space back to its original fold, we come to realize that there are moments that contain everything and there are places that contain everything. And this is going to be the secret, Be'ezras Hashem, of the seventh beggar, the legless beggar from the Sheva HaBatlarim, who doesn't have his legs yet, who doesn't know how to dance yet, or perhaps is dancing too quickly for us to see his legs, moving too quickly. Because when a person is walking, you could see their legs moving. When a person is standing, you could see that they've arrived. Walking implies a desire to arrive at a new destination, and standing implies the capacity of being exactly where I need to be in this moment with no need to move. The secret of the legless beggar is that he's walking and standing at the very same time. He's standing and moving because it's the sense that, yes, I have to perpetually move forward. I have to wander, but that wandering is not rooted in a deficiency. That wandering is rooted in the infinite expression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing to me at each and every level, because Kedushasi l'malam mikdushaseichem. And then we can have Mati Raglin Beraglin, then the legs of Adam Kadmon and Mislabesh, and we see the true secret of walking, the fact that a Yid can never say that I've arrived at the destination. The only destination to arrive at is the recognition that I will never arrive at the destination, and learning through the act of recognition to draw the sweetness and the pleasantness of destination into the lack of destination, as well as drawing the excitement and the motivation and the novelty of a lack of destination into the secret of a destination, so that I could be Ratza Vishov Bavasachas, moving forth and retreating at the very same moment, and I can find myself moving forward without having to move very far, and moving very far without moving at all. And Be'ezras Hashem, we can be zoicha to the mati raglan l'raglan, and learning how to wander, and learning how to be okay with not knowing exactly where we're supposed to be at the very moment, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meir drachai, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. That I can be certain of. And Be'ezras Hashem, through that, we can learn to walk, we can learn to jump, we can learn to leap, we can learn to stroll, and we can learn to dance as well, Be'ezras Hashem.
This podcast is supported in part from a grant from the Hadar Institute. The music is by Zusha. The audio engineer is David Kwan. For more from the Shefa Podcast Network, visit our Facebook page, and please subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts.